The finger pointing over the bombing of this Baptist hospital in Gaza, where hundreds were killed yesterday. Of course, the Palestinians are blaming Israeli Defense Forces. But it turns out, based on the reporting, seems to be pretty accurate. For example, Jordan Schachtel reporting, 1 minute before a rocket blew up a hospital in Gaza, Hamas announced on Telegram they were launching their most robust weapons in the arsenal at Haifa. No rockets reach Haifa. High probability these hit the hospital and set off secondary explosions within the building. He went on to say there is zero evidence of an Israeli airstrike on the hospital, but videos are surfacing of sustained rocket fire coming out of Gaza at the same time that hospital blew up. So much more likely, based on the evidence, that this was a rocket that was misfired by the Islamic Jihad. Yeah. And not Israeli Defense Forces.
And if you looked at the trajectory of the missiles, it said it was a misfire and it landed on the hospital. And the IDF and Benjamin Netanyahu's senior advisor said, we don't target hospitals, never had, never will.
Israel does not target places like hospitals. They're not a target for us, and we wouldn't have deliberately hit a hospital. Number two, we know that at the time of this tragedy, that Hamas was firing a barrage of rockets at Tel Aviv. Up to a third of rockets fired from Gaza fall inside the Gaza Strip because they malfunction. It is possible that this was one of those rockets that malfunctioned.
Interesting piece, just to give some context of what we're talking about for people that haven't been there and have a difficult time perhaps understanding the dynamic at play here. I'm talking about pre-attack. A piece over at the Free Press, which is Barry Weiss's outlet, by a guy named Jacob Katz, who served in the IDF and was on patrol outside of Gaza back in 2018, 2019. Now, as a 25-year-old, he's gone back. He just offered some observations, some anecdotes, and sort of some open-ended questions. He talked about, well, one anecdote, just to give you a sense of what the dynamic is on a routine basis. I vividly remember a woman in a burqa walking toward the fence where he was standing guard, carrying what looked like a grenade in her fist, her arm extended from her body. She must have been 150 feet away when my commander launched one of the canisters, tear gas. As the clouds of gas began to rise from the ground, she collapsed as others came to her aid. I later saw a group of four or five small kids kicking around a used tear gas canister as it fizzled out, as if it were a soccer ball. These kids couldn't have been older than eight, and their clothes hung on their small bodies like they were recent hand-me-downs from older siblings. I wondered what my life would have been like if I had been born on the other side of the fence. Would I have agreed with those who told me to wish for the death of another people? As Israel prepares for a potential ground invasion of Gaza, I think of those kids, and I hope they were able to flee, but I also wonder what role they now play today, as they're probably 13 or 14. How long does it take for those who were used as pawns to become the people moving the pieces? For more on all of this, we're pleased to be joined by Daniel Pipes, who's the president of the Middle East Forum. Daniel Pipes, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
What about that that soldier's perspective? And, you know, he goes on to say, you know, obviously we need to protect the border. I'm not ashamed of the time I served, and he's going back to serve, so that sort of speaks to it. But he said, I do want to live in a world where 19-year-old Israelis don't need to fire tear gas at 8-year-old Palestinians. Is that possible?
I think it is. I think, in particular, Gazans, as opposed to people living on the West Bank, Gazans have gone through an extraordinary experience the last 15 years. They've been used as cannon fodder, not the usual kind of cannon fodder. Think of a Wagner group using prison recruits in Bakhmut. That's the normal, if one can say it. In Gaza, Hamas has used its population as victims. It's it, it time and again, now for 15 years, it has attacked Israel not to defeat Israel on the military battlefield, but to get bombs, destruction, and death in return. So Gaza, the Hamas leaders can say, look, we're the victims. We've been killed. And there'll be protests around the world. The Iranian government will say, hooray. The left, the far left will say, oh, these are the poor victims. And it works. I mean, look what just happened. Hamas engaged in a massacre of some 1,300 Israelis. And the Islamists and the left are now talking about Israeli violence. So that's the background. The foreground is that Gazans are sick of this. They're increasingly not wanting to be used as victims by Hamas. And I think there is a turn in the Gazan population. And should the Israelis engage in the ground war, and should the Israelis get rid of Hamas, I'm optimistic that the Israelis can find a good number of Gazans who will work with them and build a decent administration, not necessarily a democratic one, certainly not a Zionist one, but a decent one. So I am hopeful that out of this horror and carnage can come something good for Gaza in the long term.
What about President Biden's visit? Do you think that that's just delaying the ground war that's imminent?
I think it's a two-edged sword. On the one hand, it is remarkable that he has gone so quickly to Israel in a sign of solidarity. Mm-hmm. Going there gives him even more leverage over the Israelis to say, you may do this, you may not do that. And I think the Israelis are a bit nervous about, they appreciate the first point, and they're a bit nervous about the second one.
Well, sure. I mean,
yeah,
we've got...
Does he want their war plan?
Well, also, too, the regional dynamic here. You have King Abdullah in Jordan saying Palestinian migrants aren't coming to Jordan or to Egypt. You have the U.S. evacuating its embassy in Lebanon. You have attempts to storm the Israeli embassy in Amman. And then you have the prospect of Hezbollah fully engaging in response to a ground invasion in Gaza. I mean, how do you see this playing out in the near term?
I'm inclined to see this as a series of events that are aggravating what's known as the Arab street, the general population, attacking embassies also in Ankara and Turkey and the like. On the other hand, I think the leaderships, whether it's of governments or an organization, a large organization, a quasi-governmental organization like Hezbollah, I think they're wary. I don't think Hezbollah wants to take on a very angry Israel at this point. So I'm inclined to think that Hezbollah will stay out. And I'm inclined to think that the street protests will not have that much significance. And the real key issue will be Gaza itself. How effective are the Israelis? How many Israeli deaths will there be? How many Gazan deaths will there be? How well will they take out the Hamas leadership? And what will follow? The news is that the Israelis are, it just came out that the war cabinet in Israel has said, we're not thinking about the day after. We just want to win this war. But I don't think that's really the case. I have private information that the Israelis are indeed thinking about the day after, as they must. It's very, very important. You can win the battle on the ground and then lose the war because as effectively we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, because you didn't plan enough about the day after.
And so what does the day after look like?
Well, as I suggested before, I think it should be the Israelis working with decent Gazans, but there are many other ideas. One of them, perhaps the most prominent, is that the Israelis invite in the Palestinian Authority, the nominal ruler of the West Bank, to take over in Gaza. But there are two big problems there. One is it doesn't have any power, and two, it's almost as bad as Hamas.
So, well, right. I hear what you're saying, but I mean, I guess that's the question is, like, and from a perspective of feasibility, what is some sort of joint governance between Israelis and Gazans actually look like? How would that be possible?
Well, it is certainly possible for the occupying power to hand over the keys and say, look, we'll give you some money, we'll give you some military backing, and you build on that to develop an administration that deals with, in the first place, security, and then with utilities and with education and health and so forth. But security is the very first requirement. That, by the way, is what we did not do in Iraq. We disbanded the Iraqi military and did not replace it, and so there was chaos for years and years. Got to have security. So I think it's possible. I think there are plenty of Gazans ready to work with Israel and to run their little piece of land. By the way, Gaza is exactly the same size as the city of Omaha, Nebraska. It's pretty small.
Yeah, and millions of people. But what is Iran's role in all of this? And will they have a say in what happens to it?
The Iranians are the mobilizers. They provide money, they provide arms, they provide ideology, they provide spiritual backing. But they're not the only ones. Qatar, which is a quasi-ally, I mean, it is formally a major non-NATO ally of the United States. Qatar provides money and inspiration as well. So, Iran is an out-and-out enemy, and there's limited things we can do there. But Qatar, it's appalling to see how integrated Qatar is into our economy and our politics.
Our educational system.
Exactly. When they are not just backers of Hamas, but of the Islamists, the jihadis in many countries.
The Palestinian refugee issue that I mentioned, what would your advice and counsel be to the West in terms of how to handle that and how to perhaps encourage King Abdullah in Jordan to change his perspective on it?
By Palestine refugee, you mean the Gazans today?
Yeah. The Gazans that flee before the bombing starts and the ground invasion starts. Those that have been told to get out.
Well, I don't think Abdullah of Jordan is the key figure. It's Abdel Fattah Sisi.
Right, in Egypt.
Because Gaza borders on Egypt, and the Egyptians have been loath to allow in Gazans. I think there are ideas floating around that the Gazans can reestablish their lives nearby in Sinai, in part of Egypt. I think that's not going to happen. That's absolutely unacceptable to Sisi and more broadly to the Egyptians. Temporary refuge, yes, and they should be pressured to allow the Gazans in. But long-term solution, no, they simply will not allow that. So the Gazans will have to return to Gaza, however wrecked it is, and rebuild, and hopefully not with Hamas as their overlords. And by the way, Hamas is not really a Palestinian nationalist movement. It's an Islamist movement. In contrast to the PLO and Palestinian Authority that have Palestine in their name, Hamas does not. It's an Islamic movement, and it's not particularly concerned about Palestinians or Palestine. It's quite willing to use them, as I said before, cannon fodder. They're there to be exploited for the larger mission, which is establishing an Islamic rule over what they call Palestine.
Now, 30 Americans have been killed. 14 are still being held hostage, along with about 180 others. What do you see happening with that? I mean, there's been some offers, Hamas saying, stop bombing us and we'll give you your hostages back. But I don't know if there's that holds any water.
Well, that's the one side. The other side is the Israelis are saying, we're not going to let anything in, though they have allowed water, until you release the hostages. So it's the usual kind of tense negotiating between the hostage takers and the government that's trying to get them back. I think the Israelis face some very, very difficult decisions ahead, because the Hamas is likely to say, you do this, we'll kill one, you do that, we'll kill another. It's an agonizing decision for any government. I expect that the Israelis will proceed. They will not allow the hostage situation to blunt their efforts to get rid of Hamas.
Well, and in terms of supplies and so forth, when Hamas can pillage the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, I guess they don't need supplies to be allowed in.
Well, they do. The Egyptians could allow in fuel, food, medicine, and water, but they're not. And the Israelis have been doing that now for years. It's a bizarre situation. For example, electricity. The Israelis have effectively applied supplied electricity to Gaza for years for free to their enemy.
Yes. It's odd to underrate your enemy. No, but I mean, I was being a bit facetious, but I'm just talking about this incident where trucks purporting to be from the Ministry of Health of the de facto authorities in Gaza removed fuel and medical equipment from this United Nations Relief Works Agency, which the United States primarily funds. So now we're essentially primarily funding the supply chain that Hamas has created by pillaging this UN agency. And so it's just, I mean, it's just more of this sort of, as you were sort of getting to, the contradiction in application here. You're cutting out on us. Can't hear you. Hello?
Sorry, I lost you right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A second. Go. I was saying that I think one of the benefits of this horror, the good things that come out of this horror, is that Israelis have learned that enriching Gazans will not blunt the hostility towards Israel.
Daniel Pipes is the president of the Middle East Forum. Daniel Pipes, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation. Bye.
Bye. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Signature Bank is Chicago's fastest-growing, independently-owned business bank, a bank where relationships still matter. I'm Dan Proft, and I know this because Signature Bank is my business bank.
Hey all, Jim Carr here. I am the owner of Car Machine and Tool in Elk Grove Village and loyal customer of Signature Bank. As a second-generation owner, I knew I had to